just good to be here, isn't it? Can I hear an amen? It is. It's just good to be here with our family, our spiritual family. And as we look at this night, the night in which Jesus was betrayed, as I prayed earlier, I just pray that the peace of God would just flood our hearts as we bring forward in remembrance, as we come to the Lord's table, bring forward that which Christ has done for us. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this evening, verses 14 through 22. And Luke's report of the last day is very similar to Mark and to Matthew, but it also has a couple unique things in it. In chapter 22, in verses 1 through 6, Judas agrees to betray Jesus and sell our Savior for 30 pieces of silver. At the Last Supper, with his disciples, Jesus institutes communion. And what he's doing is he's letting his disciples know that he himself has fulfilled the Passover celebration in his work and his person. Because as they celebrated the Passover celebration that celebrated God's deliverance out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, so too Jesus has delivered us out of slavery and out of bondage, and he fulfills the Passover celebration. But after the Lord's Supper, after the final night with his disciples celebrating that Passover feast, he leads the 11 disciples that are left, Judas had already left, to the Mount of Olives, to Gethsemane, where he prays and he seeks the Lord and he feels the weight of the sin of the world that is placed upon his shoulder. There's also a little bit of a spat between the disciples as to who is going to be the greatest among them. And so in the midst of this night, it was far from perfect. Between the violent hatred of the religious leaders toward Jesus, the infighting of his disciples, the arrogance that was probably kind of flowing in and through their mouth, Peter's impetuous statement that he'll go to death, and then Jesus prophesying that before this night is through, you will betray me three times. And so the setting isn't perfect. And so we're at home, because none of us are perfect either, aren't we? But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he has done something so remarkable, so worthy of our praise and so worthy of our worship. And as we think about the Lord's table tonight, it is a proclamation of the gospel. And what we're going to see is that it's worth proclaiming. And so join me as we read. If you'd stand, please, with me. Luke chapter 22, we're going to read verses 14 through 22. Reading in Christ's name. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. And for the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another as to which one could it be that was going to do this. Lord, I thank you that we can look at this text and we can see how you, Jesus, fulfill the Passover celebration of the Jewish people. And that you are that Paschal lamb, that Passover, that spotless lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And so as you fulfill this wonderful prophecy of the coming Messiah to provide salvation to God's people, I pray that our hearts would be stirred, and I pray the peace of God, which just surpasses all human understanding, would just flood our hearts and this place. And Lord, I pray that we would worship you with all of our heart. May our ears be attentive and our minds be ready to receive what you have prepared for us. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And so the first thing that we're going to just look at is that Jesus fulfills the Passover celebration. Jesus fulfills the Passover celebration. Both the preparation for the Passover and its eating are mixed with promises and foreshadows of what Christ will do in the future. And the Passover celebration literally prefigures what Christ will do for us on the cross on Calvary. Jesus is the spotless lamb. And the spotless lamb that was used for the Passover celebration pointed toward Christ and his sinless life, living that life that we could not, fulfilling everything that God required, breaking that curse of the law so that we could be redeemed through his righteousness. As the children of Israel were enslaved by Egypt, another nation, God delivered them, and he was present in the midst of that deliverance, and Jesus is present in the midst of this deliverance as well. The Passover meal was eaten at night as the sun went down. During the time that the Passover celebration took place, the sunset would be right around 6 p.m., and so it was very shortly after that that they were having the meal. Table fellowship was very, very important to the people of Israel. It was a time where they could gather together and have this intimate setting of family and friends and just fellowship with one another. And so that's really engrafted into the Lord's table. And I'll say this a couple times, and it's kind of a theme that's been really on my heart lately, that as we partake of the Lord's table, yes, we're communing with God, because God's presence is here, but we're also communing with one another as the body of Christ, because that is why Christ died, for the church, for the body. And if we understand the church itself, and if we understand new creations in Christ Jesus clearly, we understand that it starts with the body and then moves toward the individual. But sometimes we get that mixed around, don't we? It starts in the body, fellowship with one another as the presence of the Lord is here. And so at this table they gathered around, it would be a very intimate setting. And so as Jesus with his disciples are reclining at a table that's maybe, about a foot high, since it's in the east, they would recline with pillows on the floor and they would be there partaking of this meal. Jesus is the figurative head of the family. The head of the family would be the one to bless the food and to say a very special prayer as they drank the unleavened bread and the wine, which pointed toward the deliverance that God would provide. And so as they sat there, this communion that was initiated on this night, the night in which Jesus was betrayed, fulfills the Passover celebration and promotes this wonderful new creation that Christ has worked through his life, death, and resurrection, where new creations in Christ Jesus are grafted together in a way that we can't really describe. Have you ever tried to describe to a non-believer the fellowship that you have in the body of Christ? It's very difficult to articulate, isn't it? Because we just feel safe here. I hope you do. I really do. We feel comfortable here. We know that the people around us genuinely care about our situation and maybe some of the trials and tribulations that we're going through. And that's the whole point. Paul reminds us in Galatians that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so Jesus came to reconcile fallen creation to God and also to each other. And we've been entrusted with this ministry of reconciliation as the church, the body of Christ, working in a unified new creation, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and remembering, bringing forward that which Christ has done. And so Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of the body of Christ. Jesus is the new Exodus. He is the Messiah that fulfills all the hopes of the nation of Israel in the Messiah. And as Jesus and his disciples experienced a very intimate setting, we're going to do that same thing tonight. As we commune at the Lord's table with the presence of the Lord, working through the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're also in the fellowship of one another, the body of believers, as God has called us to be a congregation that is knit together in Christ. The next thing that we see is that Christ reveals his presence in communion. Christ reveals his presence in communion. The real presence of God in the deliverance of Israel was something that was very, very special to the people of Israel. And God reminds us of that in Exodus chapter 19. As he calls the people of Israel a very special name, it's a Hebrew word, segula, and it means treasured possession, and there's no real good English equivalent. But it's the love of a father to a newborn child, but it's also the proudness of a father seeing their child graduate, that day where they just do something that you're so proud of. And it's a special love and a special treasure that God sees in his people through his salvation. And in chapter 19 of Exodus, verses 4 through 6, it says, "You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." And that's God, isn't it? He brought us to himself, didn't he? "Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And these are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And if we were to fast forward to 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter reminds that applies to the church. Those who call on Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. We are his treasured possession because of what Christ has done. And so Israel was God's segula, his treasured possession, and so is now the church. God brought great hope to the people of Israel in saving them out of the land of Egypt, providing for them in the wilderness, and bringing them safely to their homeland. And Jesus is that same thing. He delivers us out of bondage of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. And promises us a place with him for all eternity. And it's a place that's worth celebrating because there's no more pain and there's no more sorrow. And I'm okay with that. It gives me hope. It gives me peace. Because then no matter what comes our way in this life, we know there is a hope that is beyond all hope. And there's a comfort that's beyond all comfort and a peace that's beyond all peace. And so as we think about the Passover celebration, it all pointed to the great rescue of Jesus Christ through his life, death, and resurrection. And just like in Egypt, God himself came to save his people, so too Jesus came to save the people of Israel. But the good news is it wasn't just for Israel. It was for the whole world and for us too. In John chapter 1, in a paraphrased translation, as Jesus is the one who not only reveals the triune God, but also reveals his plan of salvation, it states it this way: "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son is himself God, who is at the Father's side. He has revealed the triune God and his salvation through Jesus Christ." That's just a wonderful promise, isn't it? That Jesus, he didn't have to come. He wanted to. And he willingly humiliated himself in order to save us. And that is worth celebrating, isn't it? That's worth remembering. That's worth bringing forward to understand the great gift that God has extended to all people through the cross. It is totally my conviction that as Jesus died for the sins of the world, we understand that not everybody is going to receive that free gift, but it is my conviction that God invites every single person born to look at the cross and offers that free gift of salvation. But God loves us enough to not force himself on us too, doesn't he? He extends that gift, and that gift must be received. And so as we think about salvation from God, and we think about back in Egypt where the children grumbled and complained along the way, sometimes we do that too. But we need to continue to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that bestows a peace that is beyond all human understanding. And he will truly guard your heart in mind through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, as God was present in deliverance of Israel, Jesus is present in our text as the Lord's Supper is initiated, and he is present here in a very mysterious way in the elements in the Lord's table. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? That God is here, and his presence is real. And he longs to commune with his children, and he longs for his children to commune with one another. It is that presence that gives believers hope comfort, spiritual nourishment, and joy. As Paul said and reminds us that as we celebrate communion, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that worth proclaiming? I think it is too. It's also a wonderful reminder that God, Jesus, will never leave us or forsake us. He will be with us until he calls us home to live with him forever. The final thing that we see is that communion is a bringing forward that which Christ accomplished in the past. Communion is bringing forward that which Christ has accomplished in the past. And so proclaiming God's glory and his salvation was a central theme all through Scripture. If you just page through some of the Psalms, you hear Egypt mentioned all the time, the deliverance of the great God of Israel delivered his people out of the land of Egypt. And so too in the New Testament, the proclamation of this great and mighty Savior that we serve, the second person of the Trinity, the person who reveals the triune God, his plan of salvation, and provides the free gift of salvation to any and all who will call on his name. This is what we bring forward, this great and wonderful gift. As Paul reminds us in our scripture lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, at the end he says, "For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And so when we remember the salvation of God, we bring forward that which Christ has done for us. And it's always wise for us to remember that while we were sinners, while each one of us was born separated from God, Jesus brought forth a remedy for this infection and this poison of sin. Because if that infection of sin that we are each born with goes untreated, it will surely lead to death and separation from God. But Jesus is that remedy, and by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And so out of this incredible, lavish, and extravagant love that God extends to each one of us, and as we come to the Lord's table, which reminds us that we are to seek God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, that walking forward is too an act of seeking God. Is it not? It is. And as you stand next to the person you'll be standing next to as you partake of Holy Communion, say a quick prayer for that person. Understand that it's not just an arbitrary accident that you're here tonight. Understand that those who call Calvary their home, I totally don't believe that it's an accident that they're here. And I love what God is doing in the midst of this congregation. Now I'm going to say this, and I pray for protection from God every day for this. I've been in a lot of churches. I've served a lot of churches as media directors and worked behind a lot of pastors. I just have never, and I'm not saying that this church is perfect, but I have never been a part of a church this unified. And I am so thankful for that. And we need to keep the important things in front of us, don't we? We need to strive with eager expectation for the unity of the body, for the bond of the Holy Spirit working in and through each one of us, for the proclamation of the gospel. Because after we're saved, that's not just it, you know? Honestly, that's kind of where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? That's where society is going to push against you and the forces of evil are going to push against you and things are going to come against you and people are like, well, I thought you were a Christian. Your life is supposed to be perfect. It doesn't work that way. Peter reminds us that we shouldn't be surprised when things come our way as if something weird was happening to us. It's the reality of living in a fallen world. We need each other. God has knit us together in a special way, and I pray that we don't take that for granted. I pray that we don't take that for granted. And so out of his lavish and extravagant love, Jesus paid for the sin of the world through his atoning sacrifice and through his resurrection. And the resurrection is what infuses the cross and Christ's life with power, because we serve a risen and living Savior who is at the right hand of God praying for each one of you right now, as it says in Romans 8. That's the Savior we serve. Isn't that worth proclaiming? It is the greatest expression of love the universe has ever seen. Isn't that worth proclaiming? It is the greatest gift that can ever be bestowed upon any human being. Isn't that worth proclaiming? And you know what? He will come again, and he will take each one of us home to live with him forever in a place with no more tears, no more sorrow, no more cancer, no more pain. Isn't that worth proclaiming? Amen. So I pray that God's peace just floods through your heart. And as you come to the Lord's table, as you walk and take those steps up toward the front of this sanctuary, you are seeking God in all of his grace, in all of his mercy. And think of that first time that your child took those steps. He's there holding his hands out with his love so that he can wrap his grace and mercy around you, so that he will keep you in his presence until the day you meet him face to face. Isn't that worth proclaiming? Pray with me. Lord, I thank you. As the song said, what words can I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend? There are no words. Thank you just doesn't seem to cut it. So, Lord, I give you my tears, and I give you my heart. And I groan in my spirit with things that are too deep for human words. And the gratefulness that I have in my heart for this family here at Calvary, for the call to come to Arlington, and for the salvation that you so freely have given us through Christ Jesus. I also thank you for this wonderful sacrament of communion, that as we fellowship with you, we also fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin and removes all that unrighteousness through the power of Jesus Christ in his perfect life, his payment on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension. God, may we worship you with our whole heart here today. I thank you for this time. I praise you. And everybody that agreed said amen.